Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10. What verse is there? Okay, text 24. Tato nishkramya lankaya yatu danya sahasrasha mandudarya samam tacha prarudantya upajavan. Tato nishkramya lankaya yatundanya sahasrashah mandodarya samam tacha prarudantya upajavan. Tato nishkramya lankaya yatu danya sahasrashah mandodara samam tacha prarudanta upajavan. Mantajis. Tataha. Thereafter. Nishkramya. Coming out. Lankayaha. From Lanka. Yatu Danyaya. The wives of the Rakshasas. Sahashrasaha. By thousands and thousands. Mandodara. Headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana. Samam. With. Tatra. There. Parudantayaha. Crying and lamentation. Upajravan. Came near. Their dead husbands. Purport. Our translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Śrī Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka, continuously crying. They approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas. Next few verses. Striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshman, the women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. O my Lord, O Master, you epitomized trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we also are defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? Purport. Ravana's wife, Mandodari, and the other wives knew very well how cruel a person Ravana was. The very word Ravana means one who causes crying for others. Ravana continuously caused trouble for others. But when his sinful activities culminated in giving trouble to Sita Devi, he was killed by Lord Ramchandra. Then, with your permission, I'll read the next verse, and it's a little longer purport. O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramchandra. Purport. Not only was Mother Sita powerful, but any woman who follows in the footsteps of Mother Sita can also become similarly powerful. There are many instances of this in the history of Vedic literature. Whenever we find a description of ideal chaste women, Mother Sita is among them. Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, was also very chaste. Similarly, Draupadi was one of five exalted chaste women. As a man must follow great personalities like Brahma and Narada, a woman must follow the path of such ideal women as Sita, Mandodari, and Draupadi. By staying chaste and faithful to her husband, a woman enriches herself with supernatural power. It is a moral principle that one should not be influenced by lusty desires for another's wife. Matravat pada dadeshu. An intelligent person must look upon another's wife as being like his mother. This is a moral injunction from Chanaka Shloka 10. Matravat pada dadeshu pada javyeshu loshtavat atmavat sarvabhuteshu yapashati sapanditaha. One who considers another's wife as his mother, another's possessions as a lump of dirt, and treats all other living beings as he would himself, is considered to be learned. Thus Ravana was condemned not only by Lord Ramchandra, but even by his own wife, Mandodari. Because she was a chaste woman, she knew the power of another chaste woman, especially such a wife as Mother Sita Devi. Om Agyante Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guruhum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivathari Gauda Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll read the last verse. Oh, greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramchandra. So herein we're hearing the pastimes of Ram, Sita, Hanuman, Lakshman. And as we know, the Lord enacts his pastimes eternally. It's Nitya Lila. That is, when it's one certain aspect of a pastime is finishing up in one universe, it's starting up in another universe. As we know from the Vedas, there's unlimited universes emanating from the pores of Mahavishnu. So Krishna has his eternal roadshow, right? So Krishna has unlimited expansions, and Ramchandra is one of Krishna's expansions or incarnations, avatars, who has come from the spiritual world, from Vaikuntha, from Ayodhya, to show the ideal. Many things go on, right? When Krishna does one thing, he can do many things with one action. So many things are being enacted by Ram's appearing. And here we know that Ram came to be the ideal king, the ideal husband, the ideal son, and also show what it's like not only just to be the ideal human, but show the superhuman activities of the Lord to reattract his parts and parcels back to his loving service. So when Krishna or Ram appear, they appear with their eternally liberated souls that are part of the traveling roadshow. And Mandodari, she's not just an ordinary pious person, but she's part of the roadshow, just like who's her husband? Question. Huh? Ravana. Who's Ravana? What's that? Yeah, so he's either Jai or Vijay. That's what I was getting at. Is that he is a doorman of Vaikuntha that was cursed by the four Kumaras. that you either take 7 births as a devotee or you take 3 births as a demon. Your choice. So the 4 Kumaras cursed Jayan Vijay like that, and Jayan Vijay thought, well, if we take 7 births as a devotees, then we'll be separated from our service in Vaikuntha for a longer period of time. So they decided, okay, we'll take the 3 demon roles. So everybody remember the roles they took? First was Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And then Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Shishupal and Dantavakra. And then they made a cameo appearance as Jagai and Madai. So that although Ravana represents lust personified, on another level, he's a pure devotee, a Vaikuntha Basi, a pure servant of the Lord in the spiritual world. And here, because he can't just be able to enact, exchange anything with Krishna, you have to be super extraordinary. So when there's not qualified demons, then the Lord's devotees have to fill those positions. So that's what's going on here. So Mandodari, she's not an ordinary living entity. She is showing what does it mean to be a chaste wife to the extreme example. And Prabhupada's pointing out in the purport that because of that she has gotten supernatural powers and some other super extraordinary examples of chaste women came to mind was Parvati. She's the wife of Lord Shiva. In that Leela where Daksha was offending her husband, Lord Shiva, and she didn't want to have anything to do with it. So she, what did she do? By her own intense desire not to have any connection with an offender, her own father, where her body came from, was offending a pure devotee, Lord Shiva. She just spontaneously combusted. That's fired up. So she just immediately, you know, her body burnt to ashes because she didn't want to have any connection with an offender. And then another example was the wife of Lord Chaitanya, that when Lord Chaitanya left to take sannyas, she would chant the holy names and put one grain of rice. And then according to how many, was it rounds or names? Anybody remember? Rounds? So she would chant a whole round and then put aside one grain of rice. Then according to how many rounds she chanted that day, she would eat that amount of rice. So how many grains of rice do you think you could hold in your hand? You know, you'd have to chant hundreds just to get a... So that was her chastity or her devotion to Lord Chaitanya. So this is the example of here that we can also make a bridge to our own spiritual lives. You know, there's women here, there's men here, but we're hearing from the Bhagavatam about an example of morality or an example of dedication. So there's a saying that the most intimate form of congeniality, something like that, is the relationship between the servant and the master. Thank you. The most congenial form, congenial means the most conducive or fits together. The most congenial form of intimacy, Prabhupada said, is the relationship between disciple and master. So that's what the husband and wife relationship is meant to cultivate. The husband is meant to follow in the footsteps of Lord Ram. The wife is meant to follow in the footsteps of Sita Devi. and the disciple and the spiritual master, it's a similar, it's master and servant. So there's a saying that I heard one Swami say that one who has a mission for the spiritual master, they have shelter. So when we have that dedication, that chastity to our spiritual master, then we have shelter. And also, you can be supernaturally empowered. If we see the devotees that are supernaturally empowered in our movement, it's because they were chaste to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, of their spiritual master. Big and small, like Prabhupada has said, if you want to become advanced, then follow all the big instructions and follow all the small instructions. So, another bridge, not only between, you know, Mandodari's relationship with her husband, and then I made a bridge to, you know, the disciple to the guru, but is the soul with Krishna. Right, as we know that Krishna is the only Purusha. It's said that Krishna is the only male on a philosophical level, and that every living entity, we're all parts and parcels of Krishna, we're Prakriti. So to the degree that we realize our relationship with the Purusha, Mahapurusha, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Radha Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to that degree we'll be supernaturally empowered. And to the degree that we're chaste to that relationship of understanding our eternal servitorship to the Supreme Mahapurusha, to that degree we'll have supernatural power. In other words, we'll be acting on the spiritual platform. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mame Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mana Shashchan Injiani Prakriti Karshati, that the living entities in this material world are my eternal parts and parcels. But due to the material energy, we're all struggling with the mind and the six senses. And we're trying to exploit the energy of Krishna. So I once heard by His Holiness Radhana Swami that, you know, like at this point I'm making, that we're all Prakriti. So another explanation of Prakriti is nature itself, right? We say Mother Earth. Prakriti itself is an eternal consort of the Lord. Anybody remember which incarnation exactly? Varahadev, right? When Varahadev came and took the earth from the nether regions and lifted it up and put it on the Garbhodak ocean to fight Hiranyaksha, it's stated that Varahadev was protecting her. And Prakriti, the energy, the whole cosmic energy personified, is an eternal consort of Krishna. So our own bodies, we think they're ours, right? We think, you know, we're attached to this is mine, this amalgamation of elements. But actually it's Krishna's. And the whole cosmic creation of earth, whatever's there in earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, all the elements are Krishna's. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pavartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha, that all material and spiritual worlds emanate from me. I am the source of all material and spiritual energies. Everything emanates from me. And the wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service with all their hearts. So in this angle of vision, when we see that not only is the material energy emanating from Krishna, but it's a consort of Krishna, then that takes on a different understanding. It's like, you know, when you know someone, like I was saying in this verse, that we should see all women of another person, you know, another person's wife as mother. That's a human moral principle, right? It's like, was, you know, what's that? Respect your elders. So when we know something or someone, more specifically someone belongs to someone else, then there's more respect. So when we have the real vision of seeing ourselves, seeing all material energy as a person, ultimately, and belonging intimately for the service of Krishna, then that changes our vision. And we don't get lusty. Lust means to want to enjoy something for our own senses. Love means to want to give pleasure to Krishna's senses. So this example of Ravana is the extreme example of lust. He wanted to enjoy the eternal consort of Ramchandra, Sita Devi, and tried to kidnap her, but she was blessed. She couldn't be touched by Ravana. And I was hearing Amala Bhakta Prabhu told me yesterday that this is how he tried to win her over. He said that if you don't agree to consort with me, I'll have your liver for breakfast. After 1 year, he gave her a little time. So that was, I guess, his style of romance, his style to warm her up. You know, so in to the same degree, if we're trying to enjoy anything separately from service to Krishna, we're trying to enjoy Krishna's consort in the form of prakriti, or in the form of material energy. So we know it's a gradual process of purification. And that, I heard Devamrita Swami say, that it's not that as we're trying to become devotees that, you know, we want to take the place of Krishna on the altar. It's not a gross, lusty desire to that level. But to any degree, or to the whatever degree that we're trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, to that degree, we're a Ravana, or we're a demon. So it's just some small thoughts on these points here. Are there any comments or questions? What's your name? Hare Krishna.
Thank you kindly for a wonderful class, Prabhu. I was just curious, you mentioned that Jayan Vijay took several births, and one of the last ones was Sisupala. And we're actually aware that Sisupala was able to join Krishna's body marginally, but we should also understand that after that, these Jayan Vijay also became as a following appearance, Madai and Vagdai.
Jagai and Madai.
Jagai and Madai. Is that really comprehensible? Once, I believe also the other incarnation also was able to join Krishna's body. It was a Devanaka, marginally. So after being partially one with Krishna, they would still come back and be demons basically, and try to fight Lord Caitanya and Lord Nityananda?
Well, no matter what kind of liberation you're given, ultimately the intrinsic reality of the soul is that you never can merge. Even if you're given a form of liberation like Sayuja, which I think you're talking about, where it's seemingly that you merge into the effulgence of Krishna, eternally we're persons, or eternal servants of Krishna. And that may be a so-called benediction, but the reality of every living entity is that we're eternally conscious servants of Krishna, and that at some stage you have to come down. Or go up. You either have to come down to try it again in a material embodiment, or you have to rise, which is rare, I've heard. But if you, in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's great literature that explains this. One part of it is this is a soul's going through different planets and different even and different spiritual realities also. And at one stage, the soul goes through the Brahmajyoti and meets the personification of the Brahmajyoti. And there's also, it's not just what people think, it's not just light. So there's personality everywhere, and intrinsically we're all eternal persons. So at some stage, you're either going to have to come down to try it again, to be given a chance to perfect your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or you're going to go up to eternally engage in your relationship in one of the spiritual planets. Set?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Sebastian. Prigupadi. Prabhu. Hey. He said, what is a cameo appearance? That's like, you know, let's say the person who made the movie just decides to put himself in it. Some kind of term for movies or theater where you're just it's like an extra. It's an extra credit kind of thing. Anybody else have something to say? What's your name? Yantre. I'll repeat it. What? If they were not knowing that it was a great soul? Well, the idea is that we should treat everybody as an eternal part and parcel of Krishna. That's more than great. You know, if the President of the United States came in the room, you know, everybody would be in like, oh, we have to treat this person with some great service because they represent the whole nation. So what to speak of every living entity? To the best of our ability, we should treat every living entity we come in contact with that this is my beloved's beloved. Krishna says, Sadavo Hridayam Mayam, that the saints, they're my heart. And he also says that, you know, every living entity is my part and parcel. And it's explained that Krishna has more love for every living entity than millions and millions of mothers. So that being known, then when we come in contact with any soul, that's the ultimate consciousness, is that we're trying to see Krishna everywhere, see everyone related to Krishna, whether they're realizing their relationship or not, and according to the circumstance, do our best to serve that soul. That service may take on different external displays. We relate to senior Prabhupada disciples a certain way. We relate to women a certain way, men a certain way, you know, animals a certain way. But inside, we should internally be conscious. This living spark is an eternal beloved of my beloved. And with as much love as you can display, serve that person. Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki Go Premanandi.